Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on iconic Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, no way we're going on YouTube anymore, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing support. Hey, speaking of iconic, if you guys want to check it out, there is a link in the description where you can get yourself a 10-day free trial. Just try it before you buy it. See if you like what's going on over there. I'm telling you right now, it is the Netflix of the alternative media, and it's not just conspiracy stuff either. They've got a lot of health and wellness, real cool stuff. There's movies, there's videos, there's series. The Macroaggressions has been on there since I think month three, so we're coming up on 2 years for this show, a little over two years for Iconic. I'm telling you, you got to check it out. They're also moving they're coming to America like Joffy Joffer. They are coming to America soon, so that's good. But you don't have to, you can check them out from wherever you are. Just check the link in the description and go over and see what they're doing at Iconic. It's David Icke's platform. His kids are running the show over there, and they are really good talent evaluators. I'll tell you that. There's some amazing people doing great projects over there. So go take a look and check it out. Thanks to our sponsors, of course, to Chemical Free Body and Tim James and the crew over there. They are changing lives, man. They are getting people healthy. You're going to need it. You're going to need it for this constant barrage that these maniacs are unveiling on us with, whether it's the stuff they're spraying on us, what they're trying to inject into us, the foods that we eat. I mean, we're lucky we're alive. And I'll tell you what, you got to harden up your shield a little bit. And part of what Chemical Free Body does is it just helps to improve the way you feel. And I'll tell you what, when you feel shitty, there's nothing like having good health. You know, you really, really do miss it. It's tough to imagine when you're feeling pretty good, but I'll tell you what, you know how it is. When you feel bad, you'd give anything to have your health back. So let's be proactive. I think that's kind of the theme of this whole podcast, is recognizing where we are and trying to make some proactive moves in advance. And I'd say taking care of your health is definitely one of them. So if you are so inclined, and 2022 is the year that you're going to finally do it, you're going to change everything. You're going to improve. You're going to stop procrastinating. You're going to get yourself in shape, or you're going to get yourself feeling better. Then do this. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Take a look at the program that I've got over there. The detox in a box that Tim James has put together. I'm telling you, it will clean you out. And in my case, it cleaned me out, and I dropped 14 pounds from it. I'm not saying that that's what everybody's going to experience. I wasn't expecting it myself, and it happened. But part of why it happened was because we were getting rid of all the junk. you know, or just cleaning out the insides. I felt a whole lot better. Still do. I drink Green 85 every single morning. That is 100% the truth. That is no lie. So if you are so inclined, use the promo code macro on your way out, but go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Check it out. See if it's right for you. And also, since we're talking about being proactive, you know how I feel about getting ready. And you know, I owe the preppers an apology, and I do. They were right. We should always be prepared. Look, Prepare with Macroaggressions is the website that My Patriot Supply built for us. They've been great sponsors to work with. I think that their product is essential. I've got buckets of it in my house, a food, just in case, you know, didn't freak out the family. I just said, this is in case, you know, we get snowed in. Wink, wink. You know what it is. It's if the supply chain breaks down. And look, I just don't want to have an additional headache. So I'm telling you right now, this is if ever there was a case where you want to be 2 months early as opposed to 2 days late, that's what it is. It comes when you're dealing with food, when you're dealing with things like that, supplies that you need. When you need them, you're not going to be able to get them. So you have to extrapolate out and know that you might need them in advance. And if you do that, you'll be rewarded by being, I don't know, alive, I guess. I mean, that's a hell of a reward, right? Just, everyone else starves to death and you're alive. Maybe that'll be the slogan for my show. I don't know, but listen, I'm just saying, get yourself prepared. Think out forward into the future. Don't be so reactive, be proactive. Hell, you listen to this crazy ass show, you're into something. Tell you what, and I also, since I've got it on, I got to show the sweatshirt. I mean, where can you get a false flag sweatshirt? Really? I've got it. You go to my website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. There's a merch store that I have connected. I made all kinds of crazy stuff there, like false flag, Operation Paperclip, you know, you name it. There's a bunch of great merchandise there. T-shirts, stickers. The stickers are off the chart. And I'll tell you what, I have to say this because I've been disappointed when I bought merchandise from other, you know, other shows and their stuff, and you're so excited to get it, and you're like, cool, this is going to be great. I'm going to support their show, and I'm going to wear this cool shirt that nobody else has. And then you wash it twice and all of the ink comes off. That's super annoying. I'll tell you this, the quality of the merchandise in my merchandise store is the greatest quality. I love it. I'm not kidding. Try it out. I think they have a really good return policy too. If you're unhappy, you're not going to be unhappy. You're not going to be unhappy with the way it feels and the way it holds together. I'm telling you right now, they're making great stuff. Go to the website. You'll see all the links and all that stuff. For all of this are going to be in the show notes. You can check it out. I don't expect you to write all this stuff down or anything like that. But if you're taking notes during my show, I guess good for you, you nerd. I love you. Okay. Well, listen, I did a great show with Corey Hughes. Corey and I do a show together. I don't know if you know that. I do a show called Day Zero with Corey Hughes and Chris Matthew from Forbidden Knowledge News and X Cube 420 from Inside the Cube. And we have a great time. We bring on people. It's more of like we just say all kinds of crazy shit on that show. But Corey's got a show called Understanding Propaganda. And we were talking about, we love the concept of this. Like we obviously don't like propaganda being used on us or others, but we're fascinated with the science behind it, the way it works, how they've refined this. It's fascinating to study that. But of course, you know, you recognize that the use of propaganda is dangerous, but I'll tell you what, like anything, the use of it, propaganda is less dangerous once you understand how it works. Once you understand the trigger words or the messaging, the purpose for the messaging and things like that. And so we were discussing this. There was this article that he got that was like from years ago, right? It wasn't anything new, but it was talking about the methods that Lenin used in the Bolshevik Revolution. So like the early 1900s in Russia. And what we found it was so fascinating. I was like, I've got to do a show on this. I want to see if I can boil this down to some talking points about it because you see the same, you see the same things, you know, that, that Lenin was doing, you see the Biden administration doing it, you know, and I think a case can be made that the Biden administration is like a Bolshevik revolution. You know, they're Marxist scumbags, and some of the tactics that they're using are straight out of Lenin's playbook. Okay, so you've got Marx, Lenin, Stalin, you know, those the three amigos. And what they did was they came up with these concepts and ideas for how you control society. They all involve like a ton of violence, in case you were wondering. But you can't say that because that is bad for business. So what you have to do is you have to disguise where you're really going by painting a picture of some amazing utopia society where everyone's going to get along and you're going to work and I'm going to work and we're all going to split the proceeds. I'm not saying we all have to do the same thing, but you do your job and I'll do my job. And in the end, we'll split all this. We'll have so much bread. It'll be just left. We'll just have bread everywhere, right? I don't know what I'm going to do with all this extra bread. Really? Really? Is that how it worked in the Soviet Union? Is that how it worked in Russia back then? What about Holodomor? What about what they did to Ukraine where they starved out millions of people? No, listen, this is a recipe for murder. It is. It's not even debatable. It's just, you just go back through history and you look at all of the times that there's, socialism's just never been tried right. Listen, every time they try it, everyone winds up dead. Okay, either through gunshot wounds to the back of the head or starving to death. It's not good. It doesn't work well. It's not a good idea. It goes against human nature. It goes against the human incentive process, where if I want to work harder than the guy next to me, I can, and I will be rewarded accordingly. Now, I'm not trying to say that capitalism has it all figured out and that it's perfect or anything like that. It's far from it. There's a lot of blind spots when it comes to capitalism. But when you defer your interest to the herd and you say, I allow the state to decide what is in the best interest for the herd, and I'm going to be part of the herd, I mean, how do you think that's going to turn out? It's never good. It never works the way they say it works. But the reason why it doesn't work the way they say it works is because the way they say it works is a lie. It's propaganda. They can't tell you how it's really going to work because that sales pitch would be unattractive. So really what this boils down to is it's a marketing campaign for communism, but you have to disguise it as a utopian paradise. You have to in their writings, and they talked about, there was a common theme. It was called a new society, utopian society, depicted as like a classless society. I don't mean classless like the people on CNN. I mean without class structures. And so when I hear this, when I hear that Lenin and these guys were talking about this new society, I immediately go to Build Back Better. I mean, why wouldn't I? They're talking about a new society. And I've actually said this before. I've said that the World Economic Forum's pitch for 2030, the you'll own nothing and be happy, is a sales pitch for communism. It's like Benetton ads, you know, back when they had all the multiracial people in the ads and they go, look, it's beautiful. And you go, I want to buy those. I want to buy the clothes. You know, I want to buy whatever. I want to buy that brand. I want to be associated with that mentality. So they're going to sell you a version, a picture of what the future is going to look like. And for someone like me that works in real estate and real estate development and has worked for many builders and things like that, when you're about to build a condo project like the ones I've worked on, you have to come up with the campaign first. You have to come up with the pictures of what the building's going to look like. It's not there yet. It hasn't been built yet. So it's reasonable for you to say, listen, I'm going to show you through graphic design what it's going to look like. I'm going to show you the blueprints. I'm going to show you all this stuff. But it's the sales pitch for this building that doesn't quite exist yet. The same concept it holds with regard to the sales pitch for communism or, you know, socialism or whatever isms you want to say. You've got to sell the benefits. Okay, that's sales 101, is sell the benefits. So you're talking about, you know, yeah, you'll own nothing because you won't need to own anything. We'll have self-driving cars and you'll live in your micro apartment and yeah, you'll eat the bugs, but have we talked about how delicious the bugs are? I mean, these are the best bugs you can get, you know? So it's like this whole thing about, oh, you know, it's going to be great. Smart cities, you know, as opposed to dumb cities. Well, smart cities equals locked down prison cities, really. That's what it is. But that doesn't look good on a glossy brochure. Smart cities does, because who wants to, don't you want to live in a smart city? What are you, dumb? You're like, well, no, I guess smart city sounds better than dumb cities. It's all bullshit, okay? It's a lie. Because when you go through the list of the six principles of propaganda that Lenin used in order to consolidate his grip, consolidate his power and take control, number one was the ends justify the means, okay? And what that entails is that you say whatever you need to say in order to get in power. Being honest and telling the truth and being a good person does you no good if you can't get into power. So what his strategy was, do whatever you have to do, say whatever you have to say, make as many promises as you need to make in order to get yourself in power, and then lock the doors on everybody. Kind of like the Biden administration. Not limited to him. Every politician makes crazy ass claims, you know. But this is the mentality. So it's obviously it's coming from a place of massive distrust. They don't care. That these are not these people, they're not like you and me. They don't care if they lie to you. Listen. In the end, their plan is to kill most of you. So you think they're going to worry about lying to you? Of course not. They don't care about that stuff. You and I care about that stuff. You wouldn't go walk up in front of a room filled with 1,000 people and give a presentation, talk and just lie your ass off and tell them that everything is going to be fine when you know it's not. But these people don't have a problem doing that. And so he said that. He said, break all the promises. Psychologically, that does something too. When you make all these promises, then you lock the, then you get elected, or then you lock the doors behind you and you start breaking all the promises, everyone is on notice. Uh-oh, this is going to be much different than what we thought it was going to be. He promised broad land ownership. You know, we've got to have land ownership. We've got to have broad land ownership. And everyone's like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, we got to have that. And then what did he do? He immediately ended private property. Immediately. He broke the promises. Immediately. That's what you do. He promised the soldiers that were like weary from all the fighting, I'm not going to start this, you know, I'm not going to, then he immediately, you know, he immediately conscripted these people back into the military and then separated them from their families and then basically held their families hostage. And was like, you're going to fight or you're not going to see your families again. It was really brutal what he did, obviously. But though disgusting, and not the types of topics you always want to get into, we can't avoid it. We have to sort of understand this. And why not? Why not understand Lenin's playbook? You know, this happened, you know, this was over 100 years ago. And it was horrible. And those people were real. And they really died. And they went through, you know, and the pain and all that stuff was very real. But because it was a century ago, we can look at it a little bit more objectively now. So let's look at their pain and their suffering and what they went through and the step-by-step playbook that Lenin used for them, so that we recognize that playbook. We see these plays coming in advance so that we don't have to go through it. Sound like a decent enough idea? I'm not trying to dwell in the misery of what happened there. But we do need to talk about it, if for no other reason than to understand the strategy. And if you understand the strategy, then you can put up a defense in order to prevent something like this from happening. So Lenin hated constitutions. And you know what he said? He thought that the idea of hope should replace the constitution. Now, let's get in our time machine and go back about 12 years or so. I don't know. What was Obama's campaign promise? Hope. Isn't that interesting? Use the same thing that Lenin used, hope. You know why he used hope? I'll tell you. It's always in the future. It's always in the future. Hope is always, as long as you have hope, then something is going to happen in the future. You never have to deliver on it. It's perfect for a politician. Tell people to have hope. Give them that good, warm feeling. Tell them that it's just around the corner. But as long as it's hope, hope always exists out there, just out of your reach. Did Obama deliver on hope? No, of course not. He never meant to. He drone-striked so many countries that he ran out of bombs. Hope. Hope you don't run out of bombs next time, psycho. Let's compare rule number one, the ends justify the means, with Lenin, and say what you need to say to get in and then do the exact opposite. Okay, so let's talk about the Biden administration, okay? And I'm going to take out the fact that I think they stole the election. And no, I'm not a Trumper. Please explain to me where 81 million people voted for this old man. Nobody did. But anyway, that aside, he did make promises. And then when he got in office, he just ignored them, changed them. Maybe he forgot that he made them. It's totally possible, you know? I mean, he probably forgets a lot of things. But he promised student loans would go away. You remember that? That was very popular with his base. I mean, when you've racked up $150,000 in fine arts degree loans at your liberal women's college, and then you're going, shit, I can't get a job anywhere. You're going to hope that your student loans go away too. You may be the reddest red supporter Trump person, but if the other guy is like, I'm going to make your student loans go away, you're like, I might vote for this guy if he's going to make my financial problems go away with the wave of a pen. Well, if you did that and you voted for Joe Biden because you thought he was going to make your student loans go away, or free community college. Remember that? Well, I'm going to have free community college. You can, I don't know, get your learn on, right? Like Chris Rock said, it's a disco with books. Ain't nothing happened. You know, community college, like free community college in America. That's not a whole lot. It's like $300, I think. I mean, I might be off. It might have gone up, but it's not $50,000 a year. It's not that. But even that, he lied about and didn't do it. Do you know why Joe Biden didn't get rid of the credit card or get rid of the student loan debt? Because he's financed and has been financed his entire career by the same industries that are involved in student loan financing and credit card financing. He's not going to bite the hand that feeds him. Those people put him in office. They've been putting him in office for 40 plus years. He's from Delaware. All those places are based in Delaware too, because there's tax advantages of being located in that state. That's one of the major industries there. So of course, Biden's their guy. He's been doing their bidding for a long time. So if you falsely believed that Joe Biden was going to make your credit card debt go away, then that's kind of on you. Because if you didn't know who he was and you didn't know who gave him all of his money, and it's like a 3-minute Google search where you could dig in and go, oh shit, well, okay, well, this isn't, he's lying. He's not going to do anything with student loan debt. Of course not. He's operating off of strategy number one, which also, you know, he said, I will shut down the virus, not the economy. Okay. And how'd that go? He also said, I don't think they, meaning vaccine mandates, should be mandatory. I'd say that too if I was on the campaign. Well, I mean, I'd say that I'd say that anyway, but if I knew that I was going to make vaccine mandates mandatory. I certainly wouldn't say that during the campaign, not if you wanted to win, which goes back to Lenin's philosophy. Say whatever you need to say to get in and then rearrange the room once you get in there. We're going to stay until we get all Americans out of Afghanistan. Now, I realize he said that after he was elected, but still, it goes to show his character. He didn't give a fuck about lying. He'll lie to you about anything. Afghanistan, you're going to get lies, you know? I'll put it to you this way. When it comes to campaign trail, Joe Biden, is he telling the truth or anything? On the campaign trail, Joe Biden, and you can go check this. You're probably going to need to, because it sounds so crazy. You're going to think I'm lying, but I'm not. Joe Biden promised to cure cancer during his campaign trail. Okay. That's it. That's all you need to know. That's what he said. He said he was going to cure cancer. I'm not even going to get into that tangent about how they already have a cure for cancer and that we're never going to see it. That's a whole different story. But anyway, all right, let's move on to number two. Number two, control the words and you control reality. Lenin swiftly altered the meaning of words. And that is a devious tactic, a really effective one. But it's so subversive and so, you know, it's not overt. It's more covert, because you're looking for outward shows of control, like putting troops here or locking this segment down or saying we're going to, you know, you people have to, whatever. You're looking for that. The manipulation of words is kind of flies under the radar. But if you notice what happened during the Biden administration, since he's been in, they've started changing the meanings of words as well. What is a vaccine? They've changed that. Now, I'm not saying that Biden changed this necessarily, but his regime, you know, his, you know, it's Health and Human Services, it's CDC, it's all these people answer to him. So when I fully recognize that Joe Biden is not the one changing the terminology himself. He can't even change his own diapers. But somebody under his direction, in his orbit, is doing this. And it's not accidental. You don't change the definitions of herd immunity. You don't change the definitions of vaccinated. You don't do that if you are being honest. You do that, equality, equity. Start to play with these words. You go, oh yeah, we're all going to get equity. You know, we want equity. It's like, it doesn't mean what you think it means. And I've noticed this a lot with especially Nancy Pelosi, but not limited to her. When they're giving these speeches or they're talking to the press, like out on the Capitol steps or something, they'll use terms like, this is a threat, whatever the topic is, this is a threat to our democracy. When they say that term, our democracy, I don't think it means what we think it means. I don't think it means your democracy and my democracy. I think it means actually their democracy, their grift. This is a threat to our grift. This is a threat to our version of democracy. She doesn't speak for me. Nancy Pelosi doesn't give a flying fuck about me. That's established. She doesn't care about my democracy. I know she cares about her democracy. So when she's talking about our democracy, I get very suspicious. So I think that things like that need to be watched. The manipulation of the meaning of words. And then, of course, we get into 1984 with Orwell and just the outright memory holing of words, just the disappearance of words and terms altogether. That is a destabilizing effect on a community and a society, because as an example, word games, as an example, what a perfect segue, word games and Nancy Pelosi. In the summer of 2021, the House of Representatives in the United States moved to ban, they passed legislation banning certain words from being used in session when they're the words were mother, father, brother, sister, uncle, niece, nephew, aunt, grandson, granddaughter, all the words used to describe a family. Isn't that interesting? That's some Bolshevik shit right there. You know what I mean? Because the removal of the family is tough to do. So if you want to remove the family, one step would be to remove the words used to describe the family. It's tough to keep the family concept going when the words used to describe the family no longer exist, or you're not allowed to say them, or they're hate speech, you know. You think it won't happen. You think that using the term father, brother, son, mother, whatever isn't hate, you know, will never be considered hate speech. Well, I hope it doesn't, but I think it's possible that it will, because not because it should be, of course, but because that's how they think. And that is what you do. You control the words and you, in fact, control reality for a while, at least. And I think that these are short-term solutions. I mean, at some point, people start to figure this stuff out. But by then, they're so terrified, they dare not do anything about it. And that's part of this. Perception of power, perception of authority is crucial to making, you know, is to controlling these people, like controlling the populace. And that's the thing, because you have to, you're inherently, when you're government, it's the few controlling the many. So you have to do that however, you know, whatever tactic you can find. And controlling the language is perfect for that. It's such a small move, and yet everybody's forced to use the language. So in fact, you are by force controlling everybody, because you're controlling the way that they describe the situation. So number three, never let a good crisis go to waste. I didn't know Rahm Emanuel was hanging out advising Vladimir Lenin. I wouldn't be surprised. They're both dangerous psychos, but you never let a good crisis go to waste. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. A subset of that is, and if there isn't a good crisis, then feel free to invent one. And that, of course, is where we get into things like false flags and such. Because if you desperately need the neighboring country to invade you, because you're really looking for a war with them, you need to take over. You want to get rid of their government. You want to control their resources, and you're just looking for the justification. You can't just overtly go start attacking them. It's going to be bad for optics. But if they were to attack you, then you'd have the right to defend yourself, and you could do almost whatever you wanted. It depending on how bad the attack was, you could have the justification to do all kinds of things. But if that attack never comes because your enemy is smart enough to know, I don't want any of that, I'm not interested in doing that, then sometimes people attack themselves as the pretext. And then they say, look, they hit me. You know, mom, he hit me. He's like, I didn't hit you. And then you have the justification to go in and attack these people because you say, well, they hit me, meaning you created a false flag, pinned it on them, and now you have the justification to go do whatever you want to do. I mean, see 9/11, period. So one of the things that Lenin talked about was the consolidation of power through the destruction of small and medium-sized businesses. I mean, again, it's kind of scary, the similarities of when Lenin was coming to power through this revolution, which was a tough revolution. It was nothing was given. They had to use all sorts of dirty tricks. And one of the tricks they used was, once he was there, you know, he was destroy the small and medium sized businesses and create these monopolies of industry. I mean, what do you think we're living through in the last 2 years? We saw it play out. And we rightly were like, this makes no sense. Even the normies who are traditionally asleep at the wheel they even were like, why are you closing down the local hardware store, but Home Depot is allowed to be open? They're like, well, because of the virus. They're like, that doesn't make any sense. They're like, well, it's in a big store, so the virus has much more room. It's like, stop. You're insulting my intelligence with this stuff. But that's how you do it. So never let a good crisis go to waste. We see the COVID situation roll through. We know that that's a false flag, a manufactured crisis. I'm not trying to say it's not happening. I'm just trying to say it's not happening the way we were told it's happening. And it is creating havoc. Not even so much the virus part, though I do recognize some people have died from it, but much like they die from the seasonal flu. The danger, I think we all can agree on this, the biggest danger for the general public is not COVID so much as it is the reactions to COVID by the governments. That's been far more damaging than COVID. Now, to be crystal clear, if someone close to you got sick and died from it, obviously that's the only thing that matters. Okay. I'm not trying to be insensitive to that. But we're not, statistically speaking, not a pandemic. It just wasn't. They're now backtracking that they fudged the numbers. We already knew about, I mean, we've gone over this and everything. You know that. I won't dwell too much on it, but COVID runs cover for all of their Marxist policies. You know, they use the justification of COVID as the excuse to transform society, to build back better. Again, you have part of never let a good crisis go to waste. And one of the things that Lenin talked about was, he said, look, inherently the people are dumb. And in his time, 80% of all Russians were illiterate. That doesn't mean they're dumb. Let me just be clear. But he thought they were dumb. And they were illiterate. So he said, you have to keep the slogans very simple. They're not going to sit down and understand a complex debate about, you know, economies and Adam Smith's invisible hand, all that shit. You know, they're not ready for that. They can't read. You've got to keep it simple. So what did he say? All power to the Soviets. Create a new Soviet man. Bread, peace, land, you know, like these real simple things. Build back better. Oh, wait, no. Oh, he didn't say build back better? I'm pretty sure. Make America great again. Oh, no, he didn't say that either. But you get the point. If you want to have a really effective slogan, it's got to be super fucking simple. Build back better. Make America great again. Any dummy can remember that. And that's the point. That's why it's effective. So he wanted to make sure that, you know, he just was reminded that propaganda is best when it's simple. It sticks better when it's simple. You don't have to, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, and you don't have to make this more complicated than it needs to be. If you have access to the communication outlets and you keep a simple message and you repeat it over and over and over and over again, Joseph Goebbels will tell you what that'll get you. And so the avenues that the Russians used for their propaganda, not just Lenin, but in previous, you know, regimes, I don't know how you want to define it, Stalin, you know, what later turned into the Soviet Union. They used everything. They used radio a lot. They used posters. Posters were big. I feel like when you see billboards where it's like the mask, you know, like the billboards with like the stick people with like everyone's got masks on and everything. And you're like bus stops. Like if you're at there's like a bus stop, like a covered bus stop, and there's ads in there and it's like all these masks and you're like, wear your mask. And so they use posters, they use the movies, you know, early on they used a lot of movies as propaganda. I mean, we did too. I'm not trying to say that this was just like propaganda was unique to Russia. we were using it too. Newspapers, of course, back then were the thing. And what Lenin's group would do, the Bolsheviks would do when they were on their rise to power, is they would stand in front of the factories with these big with the stacks of their own newspapers, and they'd be selling them to the workers that were coming in, and they were super aggressive, and they were trying to like, here, take this, you know, so they were trying to propagandize these workers to get them thinking, oh shit, we do need a revolution. Oh my God, I didn't even know. So they used whatever tools you had at your disposal. Obviously, Lenin would have been using the internet right now. He'd have been using CNN. He'd have been using Twitter. Lenin on Twitter. Follow me, @Lenin. They use books, art, theater, music, you name it. Whatever they could, however they could get the information out there, they used it. And we do too. And in 1918, I think this is important for us to know, because I consider myself to be in the alternative media, and I don't really even know what that means, except it's just a differentiation between, I'm not in the mainstream media, never would be, never want to be, have no interest in being. But in 1918, Lenin took all of the independent media and he just liquidated it. He just got rid of all those people. So this is part of the reason why I start to get a bit creeped out when Google is doing the things that they're doing, removing search terms, removing stories, articles, videos from YouTube that they own, depersoning people. Facebook's doing the same thing. We watched a coordinated takedown of Alex Jones that happened all at once. We've watched what they've done to voices that they don't like, conservative voices, voices that go against the official narrative. So it's a digital character assassination as opposed to an outright one. And that is... you know, that's part of what you do when the independent press or the alternative media is screwing up your narrative. You silence them however you can. Now it's a bit over the top if the Biden administration or Obama too, because, you know, he loves him some whistleblowers, but if they had just overtly gone around and started rounding up podcasters and putting them in Guantanamo Bay, that would have been bad optically. But I don't think they would have any sort of moral hang up about doing that. Again, these people are not like you and me. They don't, the mentality and the personality traits that you have to first of all want to be the president and then actually make that happen through all those tricks and traps and all the dirt they've got on you, all the, you know, the way you have to play that game. And by the time you get there, you're a sociopath of the highest order. So I know it's easy to kind of be dismissive and go, they wouldn't round up podcasters and put them in gulags and things like that. No, you wouldn't round up podcasters and do that to them. These people would have no problem doing that. If they could do that to the alternative media and be guaranteed that nobody would ever figure it out, it would be something on the table. I will say that. Number four, dehumanization. This is, this isn't a new tactic. This is integral for people that are going to war. I've mentioned this a few times, and I think it's worth bringing up again that when you're training a soldier, when you get out on that battlefield, it's best that the soldier doesn't see the other side as being human beings. And the reason why it's best is because, you know, if you've got a shot, an open shot at a guy that doesn't even know you're there, and you can just take this guy's head off with one pull of your finger, and you hesitate because you think this guy looks kind of, this guy's my age, or, you know, I bet this guy's in the same situation I'm in. I just want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want to go see my mom. I'm just fighting in this war so that my buddies don't get killed. and so I don't get killed, and that's it. He's probably doing the same thing. He's just like me. If you think that, you hesitate. And that's potentially dangerous for you, the people with you. So they've got to get that out of you. They've got to change you. They've got to change the way you view the enemy. So they dehumanize them. That's where you get, I mean, we had the propaganda, we meaning America, in World War II, where we were showing the Japanese as monkeys and things like that. We're talking about how they were savages. They would, you know, slice everybody's heads off, and they do really get you fearful of this. In Vietnam, you know, they had all the names, the gooks and zipperheads and all, you know, like crazy shit. Like they would, anything they could do to get you to not think of that person as another human being, they needed to do that. Now, of course, once all the shooting starts and someone on the other side has taken out your best friend right next to you, maybe you don't need any additional motivation to go start shooting them. But just to be sure, they want to dehumanize people. So Lenin called his enemies insects. He called them ex-people. He made them ex-people at some point, you know, and look, war requires this. It's a sad fact. It's not a good thing, but war requires the dehumanization of the other side. If for no other reason than to, you know, get you through it. Like, I don't, you know, you get a guy that doesn't really want to shoot somebody else, but that's how you get them a little bit closer to doing that. So the dehumanization and the naming of people, what are we seeing with Biden administration? We've got the anti-vax people. Those anti-vaxxers, they're killing everybody. Those anti-vaxxers are going to be in for a winter of suffering and death. A dark winter, you might say. Remember this? I mean, he threatened us. Don't threaten me with a dark winter. Don't threaten me with a good time, crazy old man. He, you know, they labeled the truckers, the Canadian truckers, as Nazis, white supremacists. You know, whatever. They called us, remember, grandma killers? Oh, you people that won't take, you people that won't wear your masks and everything. You're grandma killers. Okay, because that's the thing. It's just easier to hate somebody if you think that they're a grandma killer. Everybody's a transphobe. Everybody's anti-Semitic. You know, whatever you can do to paint your enemy as being something that society would deem to be unworthy or maybe even not human, you do that. You do that because it has an effect. It's a force multiplier, actually, too, because you demonize somebody and then you get the general public to buy into that demonization, and then they collectively do it. They do all the heavy lifting for you. Joe Biden's not out there calling people, you know, not, he's not out there leading anti-vax, you know, protests against anti-vax people. He doesn't have to. He just whips up a bunch of low IQ morons into thinking that people that aren't taking the vaccines are killing grandma, and then let them do all the work. The use of social media platforms to silence any sort of, to silence any sort of dissent, any sort of different ideas. You dehumanize people in a variety of ways. You know, you assassinate their character. Joe Rogan, right? Coordinated attack on Joe Rogan meant to assassinate his character. Now, in the old days, Lenin would have just assassinated his body as well as his character. But these days, you know, there's a lot of attention on everything. You can't do those things, at least not out in the open. So what's the next best thing? Destroy his credibility. Not because he's not a credible person, not because he's a bad guy or any of those things. It destroys credibility because he's a threat to the narrative. He's a threat to their lies. And if you know anything about narratives and lies and government lies and things like this, what you realize is that they're never built on a very solid foundation. They're always just one examination from coming down. And so the reason why they're so aggressive with trying to fight you from picking apart their narrative is they know that just the slightest examination will cause the entire facade to come down. I mean, it's not well built. So they have to be aggressive in fighting you to get you to make sure that you don't challenge the narrative. Because if you do challenge that narrative, you get past them and you're able to challenge the narrative, what you'll find is that it's built on a foundation of lies that can't hold up, and any sort of examination takes it down. So they're desperate to try and do that. That's the reason why the attacks on Rogan. That's the reason, that's what they have to do. They don't play fair. They're not interested in playing fair. They're interested in controlling the narratives, and the propaganda component of this is incredibly valuable. And so this is what Lenin was talking about. He was saying, he would say, one man with a gun can control 100 without one. You know, that's true. But one man in charge of the media can control millions of people. And so that's why they were that's why they were very involved in radio and posters and cinema and newspapers and books and art, theater, music, wherever they could get their message out, that's what they did. They tried to do that. So the new dehumanization term that the Biden administration is rolling out is domestic terrorist. Everybody's a domestic terrorist now. It's the new catch-all term. And it's not simply just an insult. Though it's plenty insulting, to be fair. It's more than that. It's extremely dangerous. It's a legal term. And it's a legal term that has to do with the fact that the Patriot Act turned the homeland, created the Department of Homeland Security, the homeland, just like Zafir would love, the Patriot Act turned the United States into the homeland, creating the Department of Homeland Security. Now, if they define you as a domestic terrorist in the homeland, you have no rights. They can disappear you and put you in Guantanamo Bay. It's just the way the system was set up so that it would, it's a broad enough term. I mean, domestic terrorist. What is a domestic terrorist? Well, it's changing. The term, what it means, what that definition is changing, and it's getting more and more broad. And in fact, it's now to the point where they're talking about how anybody that is critical, anybody that posts on social media information, misinformation, disinformation, or malinformation that undermines the credibility of the government and the establishment is now technically a domestic terrorist. Again, what a broad interpretation of that. Any criticism that destabilizes the government or the health narratives and things like that. Well, Anthony Fauci destabilizes the narrative every time he opens his mouth. Is he a domestic terrorist? The answer is yes, of course, but for different reasons than that, right? Okay, number five on this list was propaganda by example. And when Lenin was talking about propaganda by example, it was public hangings. He was like, let's use all of the light poles, not just for lights, And what that does is it obviously has a chilling effect on the public. When you go down to the town square and a bunch of the people that you used to know are hanging there because they're domestic terrorists or whatever this, you know, regime has deemed them, that sends a very strong message. Do you want to be this guy? Don't do what that guy did. If you don't want to be him, don't do the things or say the things or write the things or talk about the things or, you know, don't do that. Well, what did he do? Oh, you know what he did. It's like, what did he do? He had questions? You know, I mean, like, you never know. So they keep it sort of like ambiguous about what it was that will get you hanged. And so anything is liable to. So it creates a culture of terror, of course, of just fear. And, you know, again, propaganda by example. I mean, a case could be made that the hanging, the character assassination of Joe Rogan was something like that. Propaganda by example. We'll go after the most powerful podcaster in the world just to show you we can. It will make him dance and sing and apologize and take the episodes down and do all that shit. Because we run this place. Don't you ever forget it. That has a huge impact on people. Okay, now Joe's situation's a bit different, but still, you see that they don't have a problem going after anyone. In fact, the bigger the fish, the bigger the target, because if you can take him down, then you got that on your resume. Then everybody knows. Like if my little old show, you know, if they can silence Joe, they can silence me, right? They can just turn off the means to production, so to speak. You know, they send the message to others that they will. You'll face the same fate as Joe if you dare to get off the established narrative and talk to doctors and things like that. Hell, I've talked to the doctors that Rogan had on that got him in all this trouble. Major difference? I don't have 11 million people tuning in every episode. And I blame you guys for that, for not spreading the word. No, I'm just kidding. But please, if you like this show, share it with your friends and family. But this is this is just sort of the tactics that Lenin uses. And now you might go, that's 100 years ago, right? It is. But the strategy, the concept behind it, still applies. Still works, man. All this stuff works. So the last one on the list is blame your predecessor. You know, that is part of this propaganda thing. It's never their fault. Have you heard Joe Biden apologize for anything? Did you hear Donald Trump apologize for anything? These guys don't apologize. Mistakes were made. That was Rumsfeld. You know, we're talking about, well, let's talk about where all this missing money went. Mistakes were made. Who made the mistakes? What were the mistakes? Mistakes were made. We're looking forward. We don't want to. We're charting a course forward. We're not going to dwell in the past. No. We can dwell in the past. We got all the time we need to dwell in the past. Let's talk about what you guys have been up to. Let's talk about all the shit that you did. They won't do that. Everything's Trump's fault. I mean, and Trump did a lot. He did a lot of crazy shit. I mean, he did things that he rightly should be blamed for, but nowhere near the amount of things that the left wants to hang on him. I mean, they want everything to be his fault. They act like criminality didn't exist before 2016. They act like lying in politics and being shitty to the, you know, to the media and all this stuff. They act like Donald Trump invented political corruption. Truth is, like, I don't even think he was as corrupt as the people before him. Like, I think they were way better. Like, the Clintons and Obama and the Bushes, those people were infinitely more corrupt than Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump would love to be more corrupt. You know, I don't think he has some sort of moral hangup about it. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know the guy. But I just think that those guys are, you know, the crime families, the Clinton Bush crime family, those guys, if you want to blame somebody for something, those would be the people to legitimately hang things on. But this is a tactic that all politicians use, really. I mean, it's not limited to Vladimir Lenin. It's not limited to Donald Trump or anything like that. Blame Russia. When in doubt, blame Russia. Blame Russia for everything. Hell, we're about to kick off a false flag war in Ukraine, blaming Russia for all this stuff. So deflect. You know, this is the tactic that these people use, because you know, whether it's blaming the unvaccinated or blaming the Russians or blaming Donald Trump, you know, everything, nothing is this administration's fault. Not the supply chain, not COVID, not inflation, not creating 80% of all dollars. No. That has to be Trump. It's not Trump. Trump did a lot of shitty stuff. You know, I mean, COVID caught him for sure. You know, he's deserving of the criticism for that, for Operation Warp Speed and all of that, for sure. But you know, Joe Biden trying to blame inflation on Donald Trump and trying to blame supply chain issues on Donald Trump is, you know, it's laughable. It's his administration is as involved in this and as responsible for these things as anybody. But of course, that doesn't matter, because it's all about perception. You know, this is something that Lenin said 100 years ago. He said the soundest strategy in war is to postpone operations until the moral disintegration of the enemy renders the delivery of the mortal blow both possible and easy. Wreck society from the inside first. Soften it up before you start the war. Now I ask you, look back on this cultural decay that's been happening, especially in America, but certainly not limited. All of the social justice warriors and the Black Lives Matter scam that's going on, and 70 different genders and 4 different bathrooms, and everybody's got, you know, normalizing pedophilia and drag queen mayors and all the, you know, and the woke shit going on in the military. I ask you, are they not softening up the culture from the inside? This is a tactic that the Bolsheviks used. They're not wrong about it. They're truly not wrong about that. That's something that they quite rightly recognized. And so I think it's important for us to just to acknowledge and understand that though this all seems like it's brand new, what we're going through, we have to remember that old saying, history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. And I think that's where we are. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can check out the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions, and I will talk to you soon.